Civilization, where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.
Well, it's Sunday, 25th of May 2014, and I'm currently sitting in a local pub with Peter Paul, and we're just sipping on a pint, enjoying the nice sunny weather, nice evening sun we're getting at the moment, coming down across Brighton. You can see it, sunset's almost starting now, not quite. So we just thought we'd do a little bit of an episode, a bit of a catch-up episode, just lay back, kind of look at where we're at so far. We're almost halfway through 2014, which is pretty scary. Amazing to think that, isn't it, Peter? Halfway through.
Yes, it is, Martin. I think the year often creeps by in the early days, and we're in the Brighton Festival at the end of that now, and when you get to that, I always find the year suddenly shoots past. And of course, summer solstice is coming up on the 20th of June, which is the longest day of the year, and the sun is as far west from here as it will be, because normally it sets out to sea. At the moment it's setting right out to the west, really inland, almost to the north. In fact, streets which are on the a parallel east-west, the southern side can be sunlit and the northern side can be dark. It's that far how much the sun changes. So it's time of year which is very interesting to ponder. You have the very long days, which can be great, but it can be overstimulating. You don't have so many dark night hours, but sometimes you can get a more relaxed, more intense vibe thinking about these sort of subjects. But I think it's good to get out on the hills, enjoy the summer while it's there, because it's not there forever. And you know, when the nights are dark and long, that's when superstitions are bred, and that's where the campfires are lit, and it's a very different time of year.
Yeah, it is indeed. And yeah, it's sort of been an interesting few months, really. I guess the main thing we've been looking at is the MH370 mystery, which has just been fascinating, really. I mean, we don't really have any theories, really, on what happened. There's no concrete information either way, really, but it's just been an interesting story that's been developing over the last few months. And we're currently in that election period at the moment, where in the UK we've kind of had two elections going on, haven't we? So we've had, in certain areas of the country, we've had local elections for councillors, and we've also had the actual Euro MEP elections. And we don't actually know what the results are yet, because it's a Sunday and the results aren't public yet. We're expecting them to hit, I guess in the next few hours.
Tonight. Yeah, because some of the ballots are still being held today in Europe, so they won't be counted to the evening, because they don't influence the other voters by counting some of them first.
Right. But it's been quite an interesting period. I mean, I went down to my local polling station and did, you know, placed a few votes, and unlike in Brighton, because I live slightly outside of Brighton, not far, but just slightly, and we had the local council elections as well, and that was quite interesting, just seeing some of the candidates. And I think in Brighton it was just a Euro one, wasn't it?
That's great,
yeah. So that was, yeah, it's just quite interesting. I mean, I think the thing that I certainly get from what's happened, certainly with the local elections in the UK, is I think it's just obvious that there has been a bit of a shake-up and a bit of a wake-up call, perhaps, to some of the mainstream parties, that people aren't really very happy with what's going on. And I think UKIP's obviously done very well, and it may just be a protest vote, perhaps. Maybe a lot of people who have voted UKIP are actually just doing it because they can't think of any other party that represents their values and their beliefs, and it could be a sort of fourth force in politics now. I think that's what people are talking about, isn't it? Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, of course, the Greens made a lot of impact in Brighton in the past, so they were seen as a fourth party. So UKIP could be the fifth party, but it could be number four in the ranking of parties, of course. But I think the Liberal Democrats are probably finished. They are a conflation of parties. It didn't exist in the past. There was the Liberal Party, and there was the SDP, the Social Democratic Party in Britain. They both merged, but I think now that's likely to change. I think they're going to have to come up with some new idea. I think Nick Clegg, although a nice person, massively misjudged the situation with the students. Quite apart from charging them a lot of fees, what he really did was say to them, you can never trust a politician. you're told at an election time that they're standing to defend not putting up the fees, and then the politicians go and do just that after winning the vote on that basis. And the trouble with that, what Nick Clegg hasn't grasped, is that why should those youngsters actually trust the political system again after that? And as a Liberal, he should have really understood that was a very bad thing to do, because he should be concerned about democracy, having already lobbied many times for electoral reform under various versions of proportional representation. All of that is just dust in the wind if he's not going to stick to what he says, no matter what system he's elected under.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think definitely there seems to be just a sense of people getting a little fed up now with the local parties, and as a result, they're kind of looking to elsewhere to see if there could be other parties that perhaps provide some other policy that is more in tune with what they believe.
Trouble with UKIP, I did vote UKIP once, I don't think I would again. Unfortunately, they've come out recently in favour of fracking, which we've never done an episode on. We must do one. Fracking is the hydronic fracturing of rock to release shale gas and possibly oil as well. It's a very dubious process. Ian R. Crane's done a lot of talks about it, very opposed to it. I would be opposed to it, definitely, too. That's been some criticism of Ian, that maybe he's not looked into other techniques of getting shale gas out, which don't involve fracking. If you can release the stuff another way, would it be a good idea or not? It's a big question. Should we use up all the fossil fuels or not, even if we can get them out in a way that isn't fracking? But in the end of the day, fracking is what's on the table. It's a very destructive process. They're now saying they're going to do it under your home without asking permission, and in fact you can't even stop it legally, which implies to me that there's some sort of overt control going on here, an agenda to bring this in. And I don't know why UKIP have gone along with this. It's a very misjudged idea of theirs. I don't know why they've got such a big vote in that instance, because a lot of the more rural residents who tend to be quite conservative would certainly not want fracking in their areas, because they tend to be near where the various wells would be. So it remains to be seen how it transpires, whether UKIP can build on this support in the election in a year's time, a general election in Britain, or whether they'll be seen through. I think some of their policies are quite barking mad, to be honest. I did originally quite like them. They were against a federal Europe, and that's a good thing. But unfortunately, they don't have a lot else to offer, I don't think.
Well, yeah, they've been accused of being like a bit of a one-policy party, I think, haven't they? So they seem to be... They have a firm stance on Europe, which is fair enough. Because I can see the kind of... I can definitely see the arguments for and against Europe. And I think... I mean, I think certainly Europe's looking more and more like the beginnings of a super state, as opposed to anything other than that.
If you listen to Nigel Farage's speeches in Parliament, they'd be very good. And when he had that plane crash in, just after the last...
Three years back.
It would have been 2010. He did seem to get to speaking the truth, because he'd nearly died. And I think he's had some excellent speeches about Europe. I just don't think he's quite realised that his ideas about Europe, though they're good in the sense of being against federal Europe, which was a setup, of course. Unfortunately, what he's doing is conflating that with some quite far-right Thatcherite policies, which I think is a mistake. I think he'd be better off to disentangle them, just stand on the Europe thing, get in, then he can always dissolve Parliament, have a referendum, but he doesn't have to be supporting a lot of other policies, which are, I think, rather dubious and divisive. The immigration thing is a difficult one, but the current policy of stopping benefits for new immigrants is going to be very divisive between different groups of immigrants, and whatever you think of immigration, we don't want divisiveness, so we have to come up with slightly more thought out ideas, I think.
Yeah, I think that's it. And there's also the few other things. I mean, I heard something about UKIP having a bit of a strange stance on the NHS as well. Perhaps they're looking to privatise the NHS. Yeah, I'm not too sure about that, but it's something I've read. And I mean, the NHS isn't perfect, it's far from perfect, but it is, in principle, it's a fantastic system. And I think it would be a shame for politicians to sort of kind of meddle with the NHS, but, you know, for the worse, that is, to kind of privatise it. But that's a whole new area of debate, and, you know, we could do an episode on that probably. But the other thing I think about UKIP, which I find quite interesting, is that Nigel Farage is interviewed now. You see him interviewed in America, and he's often on Fox News, which I didn't really know much about, but I kind of stumbled across a few clips the other day, and they love him, Fox News. They absolutely love his politics, because he's very pro-America, and he's very American-facing. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but his perspective is that Britain should be with America in everything that we do. We're like, you know, the special relationship, and it's the idea that Britain should be hand in hand with America. We don't need Europe, and we can trade with America. We can kind of be old World War II buddies, and, you know, I'd find it interesting, but it kind of reminds me that it's sort of the Anglo-American establishment. It goes back to that whole thing about the New World Order essentially being this Anglo-American empire, and Nigel Farage is probably pro that, frankly. He's probably pro the established Anglo-American system. And I guess he's scared of a European kind of, perhaps a kind of Germanic or Franco rival system coming in. And this is the sort of thing he says on the Alex Jones show, because he's often on InfoWars, which, yeah, it's just interesting. But I guess people who vote UKIP, a lot of people don't even know about any of this side of it at all.
That's right, Martin. I mean, he has been on InfoWars, and I think he's a very good spokesman, and I like a lot of what he says. I think I'd prefer it if he maybe wasn't running a party as a sole figurehead, and some of the other ideas he have aren't so good. But yeah, as a spokesman, as a figure, putting over certain ideas is excellent, you know. I just think maybe he's a bit out of his depth. If it's going to appeal to everybody or be relevant to everybody, it's probably asking a bit much, really.
Yeah, that's right. But I guess, yeah, you know, like moving on, I guess, a bit. I mean, it's one of the things that's been happening recently, but we've also had a few other little things. I mean, I guess that's, you know, certainly the main event for us in the UK recently. There's not been a lot else going, not a great deal else going on, certainly nothing worthy of sort of mention here. But we've been continuing to sort of look at stuff, and I'm still fascinated at the moment by sort of nature of reality things, and that's sort of an area of research that I'm always kind of researching and looking at. And we're kind of just keeping an eye on stuff, I guess. It's sort of just been an interesting period where we've not necessarily had any great news stories to follow, but it's just worth kind of just keeping an eye on the news, I guess. Would you say that as well, Peter?
Yeah, of course, yeah. But it's always good to keep an eye on the news, and you can always glean a bit from the mainstream, and any radio show, you'll get as much or as little as you want from it. Even talk radio of any kind, you're going to hear different personalities and their experiences, and it doesn't have to be conspiracy stuff. It's all part of life, and you learn different things.
Yeah, and even if it's like local issues, like, right, I mean, yeah. For example, we were just talking about it earlier in the pub, and it, just something that we've faced in Brighton in the UK, which is something I think probably people face in all sorts of cities all around the world. It's the age-old thing of transportation and infrastructure costs rising, but people's wages and stuff not rising to match the increases. And it's all a bit of a con and a bit of a racket. Like, we've got a problem in Brighton Avenue with the bus prices, and you've got quite strong views on that.
Well, we won't turn it to nerds at broadcast, but yeah, anyway, it's the Orwellian thing of chocolate bars are twice as big next month, while you actually make them smaller. And I think that applies to a lot of things nowadays, public transport fares in particular, I'd say.
Yeah, basically prices going up to crazy levels that we don't really feel are justifiable, but at the end of the day, it seems like a monopoly, and it's just, yeah, it's a frustration. It's a frustration of modern day living, I guess, really, for many people. So
we have the Bilderberg coming up, don't we, this week?
Oh, yes.
I'm not sure where it is, but last year I went up to Bilderberg, as you may have listened to on the information.
Yeah, so that was about, that would have been...
Well, a year ago.
A year ago, was that exactly a year ago?
Well, it's every year, the Bilderberg meeting.
Yeah, I'm just losing track of the...
Early
sort of
June.
Where we're at. So
early
it was June. Early June, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so, well, it's amazing that was a year ago.
So we're recording this on the 25th of May, but you'll probably hear it at the start of June. So you'll hear about the Bilderberg, perhaps, or you may not. Unfortunately, we can't quite stretch to going this year. I know Alex Jones is sending a couple of journalists there. I saw Alex last year. It was very nice to see him. And
where is it?
It's in Europe, and I'm not quite sure where it is. So it's it may be in the Netherlands, somewhere like that, but I'm not absolutely sure. It's definitely European this year. It's not England. It's not America. So I guess listen to InfoWars if you want to hear more about that.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Well, as the sun sets over Brighton, I guess that's probably about time for us to sign off.
So you're going on holiday, aren't you, next week?
Yeah, I am indeed. I'm going away for a week, just off to Croatia for a bit, which would be nice.
So we're recording this episode.
Yeah, just slightly ahead of that, really. Just we want to make sure we get stuff out there. And we appreciate, obviously, the fact we've still got pretty good rising subscription numbers, which is always nice to see. So, yeah, we appreciate your support.
Yeah, and I hope to have an episode soon with Baron Richard de Dufton. His response to the exhibition of Viking artifacts at the British Museum, which he's going to see the weekend. You will probably hear this, very end of May, very early June 2014. When Richard's back from that, I'm going to try and interview him, and it'll be interesting to see what he's got to say. He's got some very unusual views about some of the stuff there.
Great, well, sounds good. So I guess we can continue having our pint and watching the sunset. So yep, stay tuned and stay posted for more content from the information.
The information where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.